Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey, this your boy Frank Gore. I'm listening to 49ers Rush. Niners all day. That's Brain Sits Home, baby. Let's go.
Yeah. I love it, man.
It's time for the 49ers Rush podcast. Here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, everybody? It is absolutely incredible to be with you guys on a Sunday. Sundays are for football. We're so close. We are on the cusp. Practice starts in just a mere few days. They're going to report on Tuesday, and then practices and all those things aren't too far behind. But just understand, Tuesday's report day. It's not going to be practices and videos and all those camp reports. That's going to take a couple of days. But we're so close. And so I wanted to get this episode done. I'm excited about this. Like, I'm a little jazzed. I had a little bit too much caffeine, but I think it's going to be fun. And shout out to the Countdown crew, everybody showing up strong on a Sunday. Yeah, Matthew, Chip Kelly will be represented in today's episode. There's no doubt about that. Because again, if you can't see the title, this is the best and worst. Okay, we're doing both sides of the coin here, of the 49ers front office throughout history. Okay, GMs, coaches, owners, nobody's safe. And so, yeah, I don't know. Maybe perhaps I am limiting the possibility of my future employment with this episode. But I think it's important. And especially as the season is approaching, you got to look back before you can look forward. And you have to respect the past if you're going to, you know, move forward in the future. And so as we go through these, just understand these are my ranks. You know, I went over it with our brain trust. We had an awesome get together last night. We do our Zoom sessions once a month. Had an absolute blast last night with the guys. You want to take part of those, again, head over to patreon.com, 49ers Rush Podcast. But, you know, we went through these, and I've adjusted them probably four or five times. And if you agree with somebody, that's okay. Let me know who you disagree with, who should be on this list, who shouldn't. I'm too low on that person, all that stuff. Bring all of the pain my way. That's what I want us to do. And again, before I do move forward, I do have to talk about the extension, linebacker one, Fred Warner. Love that dude, man. He is going to be a 49er for a very, very long time. Now, the highest paid linebacker, and rightfully so, he's the best linebacker in the bunch. Being a third round pick to the best linebacker in three short years, it's incredible. The journey that he has gone through, and I love that we locked him up. And, you know, if you look at it, just the 49ers roster, if you step back real quick, you have the number one young linebacker in the NFL. You have the number one young tight end in the NFL. You have the number one left tackle in the NFL, not young. And you got the number one fullback in the NFL, not young. You know, possibility to increase if you want to include, you know, Nick Bosa in that. We'll see. He was definitely playing at that level his rookie year. Then the injury, we'll have to see how he rebounds. But there's 22 positions in the NFL. That's it. There's 22. And so the fact that the 49ers have four of the best positions out of 22, that leaves 18. There's 18 best positions, you know, left in the NFL for 31 teams. This is a roster. It, a lot of it just kind of puts into context why it was okay for the 49ers to trade so much draft capital up into that number three pick to get their signal caller, Trey Lance. It just makes sense because you've provided yourself room and depth through free agency that you can go spend and be a little bit luxurious, if you will, at that quarterback position. And so that's huge. And yeah, Scott, he brings this up, man. Did you hear what Allbred Fred, I like that name, said about D Ford? D Ford looking incredible. Going to see him in camp. Again, let me just say this, okay? I want D Ford to be the starter on this team. He's that good. But you got to wait. Remember last year. Again, what did I say? Look to the past to respect the future. That's what it is. Came out week one last year, and man, by the second quarter, he could barely run. There's a lot of stuff going on there. I want D Ford to be healthy. I really, really do. But I'm telling you right now, take every single thing you hear about D Ford with a giant grain of salt. Until he goes full speed in contact, anything we get from D Ford is bonus, by the way. That dude reworked his contract and bet on himself to help us get people like Fred Warner, you know, locked up, people like Trent Williams locked up for the future. So, like, D Ford's a great teammate. Very, very glad he's a part of this team. I'm just saying, I'm not expecting much. If he gets out there, our defense is going to be a whole next level. But, again, I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't take a snap the first 6 weeks of the season. I could be way wrong. He doesn't need to do much. And let's say he is healthy during training camp. I am putting him on the field on third downs only. That's it. I'm wanting no more than 20 snaps out of this guy for the first few weeks. If he is healthy, if all things are go. Now, hopefully he is. And again, he transforms his defense. You go back to 2019, when things were at their best, D Ford was a major player in that. That's just what it is. So anyway, let's jump into this list because we got a lot. I got about 20 people we're talking about here, and we're going to start on the negative side so that we can end on the positive side. We're going to work our way up. So these are the worst GMs, coaches, owners, and we're going to work up to the worst, number one all time. And, you know, again, I put a lot of, you know, polls out there, and I thought it was interesting because, you know, whenever you're doing that, it's quite interesting the way people vote. A lot more votes for the negative stuff than the positive stuff. That's just human nature. It's what it is. Yeah, I'm not going to hold that against anybody. But, like, I put a poll out there for who was the worst head coach of all time. It got 2,430 votes. Over 2,000. I put out a poll who the best coach was. It got half that exactly. 1,200 votes. So, like, it is funny the way the mind works, and that's just what it is. That's just what it is. Shout out to Russ. What's up, CJ? CG, glad that you guys are here today. So, I'm going to start number eight. We're going old school here. Least favorite, worst GM, one of them, Joe Thomas. Okay, now some people are like, who the hell is Joe Thomas? He was the GM way back in the day, and probably the worst trade in franchise history, the O.J. Simpson trade. We gave up a first rounder, 2 second rounders, a third rounder, a fourth rounder for a 31-year-old running back with two busted knees. Never really contributed whatsoever. It did bring a little bit of popularity and maybe some momentum and coverage to the program, but that was it. He went through several coaches in, you know, just 2 short years. I think he went through 3 coaches in 2 years, just totally abrasive from the start. 7-23 was his record as general manager here. So I got Joe Thomas at number eight. Number seven, and I was shocked, you know, in my poll that I said, who do you think is the worst coach? A lot of people threw this guy's name in there. I didn't include him in my bottom four, and that's Mike Nolan. Now, Mike Nolan comes in, his numbers aren't great. He won 18 games, lost 37. That's a .327 win percentage. Not good for those keeping track at home. That's third worst in franchise history. And again, I removed the anomaly. So whenever you hear me say things like, oh, that's the worst or the best win percentage, if somebody only coached in like 2 games because they were an interim, I remove them. You had to coach a full year to qualify or be a GM for a full year, whatever else. So he's the third worst of all that qualifies. Zero playoff appearances in 4 years, passed on Aaron Rodgers. There were some awesome draft choices. Do you want to give those to Mike Nolan or Scott McLaughlin, who I think would get credit, but Frank Gore, Joe Staley, Patrick Willis, that's great that he brought those guys in. But man, those suits, and I have a knack, like a pet peeve of mine, okay? I call it the Adam Gase effect. If you are a self-acclaimed offensive genius and you're a head coach and your offense sucks, then you're not a good coach. Mike Nolan, defensive guy, stepped in for his dad, all that stuff, defensive whatever, and we weren't good on the defensive side. Despite having some of the best talent, again, Patrick Willis back there, the suits were just so bad. And like, it's not so much that you wore suits on the sideline. That's not what the issue is. The issue is, and we got into this last night, it's like Belichick wearing his stupid hoodie, right? Like, okay, it's stupid, but it's his thing. He earned the right to do that through cheating and other things, whatever else. And then you get people like Matt Patricia, not a good coach, okay? He goes into Detroit and literally tries to mimic and pick up right where Belichick left off, right? Hoodies, he's bad-mouthing the press, he's acting like he's, you know, all world, all. It doesn't work. You have to establish who you are, then those things come. You don't just step in right away, and I don't know. It's a pet peeve of mine. So I got Mike Nolan at 7. Number 6, oh, here we go. Going after the big dogs here. And credit to Cintron, Brian Cintron. I left them off my list initially and then went back and did some. John and Denise York, they get this one together. What's up, Philip? I see you in there, man. Glad to see you today, Philip. But John and Denise York, you know, whenever Eddie left DeBartolo, they were the ones that stepped in. And we'll talk more about Eddie later for sure. They didn't know what they were doing. And, you know, they were there from 2000 to 2008. Listen to their hires. The first coaching hire was Derek Erickson. We'll talk about him. Second hire was Nolan. We just talked about him. Third was Singletary. You had three head coaching hires, and you went 0-3. You struck out big time. The one thing that I do give them credit for, and I know a lot of people that have been 49ers fans for a while would probably have them, you know, 1, 2, or 3 on this list, is that they stepped down. They didn't do the Jerry Jones thing and just stick around because they could. They chose to step down, and then they gave it over to Jed. Jed's not on this list, by the way. If I would have done this list 3 years ago, Jed would have been on this list. But Jed has two great hires, some bad ones. But he brought on Harbaugh. He brought on Shanahan. And so because of that, he is not a negative. Again, you look 3 years ago, he definitely would have been on this list. But he's kind of, you know, pulling himself up a little bit. So that's John and Denise York at 6. Number 5, the draft ninja, Trent Baalke. And I know for some people, you're going to have Trent Baalke as the worst ever. And I understand it because the way that I look at Trent Baalke is this. Huge positives, huge negatives. Like, he had some huge home run hits and some huge negatives. They all ACL teams, drafted everybody that's hurt. Costas Harbaugh, that little whatever was going on behind the scenes. Harbaugh was an amazing coach, you know, turned this franchise around, and he cost us that guy. But at the same time, he drafted Navarro Bowman, Alden Smith, Kaepernick, Uwapati, Anthony Davis. Like, that is a lot of studs. But he also drafted the worst draft pick in 49ers history, A.J. Jenkins, LaMichael James. So he's got his misses. There's no doubt about that. Yeah, you remember all those seventh round picks that he would get? Like, I love those personally, but they never really panned out. I think we did get Trent Brown out of that eventually, and we traded that for, I think, a third-round pick, whatever. But Trent Baalke is just a mess. And now that he's with the Jaguars, like, it makes me feel gross. But whenever I went back and looked at all of his drafts, I mean, he hit some huge home runs on some players. Like, nobody saw Alden Smith going that high. And, like, whatever. Yeah, Alden Smith had some problems. There's no doubt about this. Still having problems. But the talent was there. He nailed that. And I better be careful. Anytime I talk about Trent Baalke, Smash Mouse shows up into my mentions. You know, the band. They're Baalke. I think they're related to him or something. So anyway, we'll see in the comments. Maybe they'll come out. We'll see what happens. I heard somebody once told me one too many times in my life. But anyway, moving on. Number 4. Oh, goodness. I had this coach hire and just not his fault. That's why I think I have him at four. Embarrassing. Jim Tomsula, the D-line coach, the mustache, the Ron Jeremy impersonator. Like, this dude, he's a mess, but he never should have been a head coach. Like, he sucked, okay? He was really, really bad, and it took one press conference to know this guy's not a head coach material. He should never talk into a mic ever. And I know some of you guys are like, you shouldn't either, Chapman. You're probably right. You're probably right. But here we are. He goes 6-11 his regular season. He only had 1 year. And you're like, oh, that's not too bad. 353 win percentage, not bad. But whenever you dive into it, the team was not competitive. Of the 11 losses, 8 were by 14 points or more. Like, we were blown out of almost every game. We beat some bad teams. And that's it. You got the terrible press conferences, the fart press conference, whenever the dude farted in his press conference. And to make it work, again, Jed York, whenever he hired him and he announced it, he compared the hiring, this burns, to that of Steve Kerr and the Warriors. Like, are you kidding me? Like, you're just setting this guy up for failure. However, I have him at four because he had a lot of positives. He was one of the best defensive line coaches in the NFL for a very long time. And so a lot of positives. Now, again, negative, some people, and again, this came out on Twitter. I have never seen a verified source on this, so take this with a grain of salt. But he was one of the ones that drove the wedge, or supposedly, again, this is hearsay, whatever, between Harbaugh and Jed York and Harbaugh and the front office. And so, you know, you remember, because we had Vic Fangio, who's still a great defensive-minded coach. That would have been incredible to have him. And we passed over the defensive coordinator Fangio for Jim Tomsula because Jed York saw it as his guy. And it just went bad. So, again, Tomsula's bad. Don't get me wrong, as a head coach. But I don't think it's his fault. You don't put somebody that's incompetent in that position. You don't go from D-line to head coach. And it was just bad. Now, sticking with embarrassments, this next one, number three, we're going to get to the positives. We got a lot. This is going to be a long episode today, so buckle in. And again, like, I love this stuff, man. Mike Singletary. Now, shout out to Philip. I saw him in here earlier. He gave Singletary a pass for what he did with Vernon Davis because Vernon Davis's career was just bad. But whenever I think of Mike Singletary, like, it hurts. There were so many embarrassing moments. Do you remember the halftime speech where he took his pants off? Like, he was given this halftime speech and pulled his pants down for several minutes and continued to give it. He was making some type of attempt to connect with players. I don't know what it was, but it didn't work out well. Lost the locker room. All the sound bites, right? And you got to give it to one of the best sound bites ever. I want winners. I want winners. You can't win with them. Can't win with them. Won't play with them. Like, all that. I know I'm butchering it, but it was great. That was cool, but it was always about him. You know, you look at the numbers for Mike Singletary. They're not that bad. 18-22 in the regular season, you know, close to 500. He had a 0.450 win percentage, middle of the pack, but zero playoff appearances in his time here. And it was an amazing roster. It was so good, in fact, that once Singletary was let go, Harbaugh stepped in straight to the playoffs. I mean, it went awesome as soon as he left. So he couldn't control the locker room, but Vernon Davis, you got to give it to him. He was a linebacker coach before. It helped with Patrick Willis, but again, I don't want to give coaches credit for Patrick Willis. He succeeded with everybody. He was the best linebacker in the game his rookie year. I could coach Patrick Willis to an all-pro season. Take it for what you want, but again, so much embarrassment, so much negativity, so much toxic. Like, that's just what he brought. I think if maybe he was on a front-runner team, perhaps it would have worked, but he wasn't. You can't do all those charades and all that stuff if you're not winning games, and he didn't win games. Number two, and I know a lot of people will have this guy number one on their list as the worst ever. I got Chip Kelly number two. Now, why is he number two and not number one? He went 2-14 in his only season. 0.125 win percentage. That's dead last for all coaches. And so that's rough. You know what I mean? Like, it's bad. And like 2-14 sounds bad, but whoa, it gets worse. I started going through all the box scores for his one season here. Three games, only three, were decided by 6 points or less. That's it. We got blown out every single game. We were the worst team in the NFL, and I don't even think it was close. But this is what's funny, and this is the theme with the next two coaches. We only had two wins that year, but both the wins came against a division opponent. Both were against the Rams, and that makes me chuckle. Like, even in the 49ers' worst season ever, we beat the Rams twice. Like, we swept them. Like, how do you only get two wins? You remember we came out, it was the blackout game, like, week one. It was, like, Thursday night football or Sunday night football or something like that. We were in the all black and reds and just freaking chopped them up. I think we rushed for, like, 200-plus yards that game. But anyway, Tommy, do want to say thank you for the gift, man. He said, P-Dub is the GOAT. I am with you, man. Philip is one of the best ever. Appreciate that guy. He cracks me up all the time, man. He's a lot of fun. But back to Chip Kelly and the bad things. Blaine Gabbert. Ugh. If you want to piss me off, okay, the names Blaine Gabbert hurt my brain. The sound phonetically is painful. The memories are painful. The fact that he wore that uniform is painful. It hurts. My least favorite 49er of all time. Least favorite. No redeeming qualities whatsoever. Just a turd on and off the field. I can't stand him. I can't stand him. Zero playoff appearance, obviously, in his 1 year. And not only was Chip Kelly bad on the field and the coaching and all that stuff, he was terrible to the press. He was awful to the fans. He was arrogant all the time. Terrible to beat writers. Cut off any type of fan interaction with training camp. Wouldn't let reporters watch practices. Like, just sucked. Just awful. Like, there's no positives with Chip Kelly. So if you have him number one, I don't have a problem with that. Like, that's how bad he is. But, and you know, I want to go back real quick to the poll. You know, I asked, who was the worst 49ers coach ever? Jim Tom Sula got the most votes, which I think shows 45%. Again, that's out of 2,400 plus votes. I think that this is a little bit of a testament to, this was done on Twitter. There's a lot of new fans. That's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing. Obviously, if you remember Tom Sula, you remember Chip Kelly. But a lot of these fans do not remember Dennis Erickson. Let me teach you about how bad it was those Dennis Erickson years. He ended up getting the third most votes, only 18%. I don't even think it's close, okay? Derek Erickson steps in and goes 9-23 in the regular season. Okay, you're like, all right, that's bad, but not terrible. The last year, he went 2-14, just like Chip Kelly, okay? And guess what? Again, this is awesome. Only two wins came against a division opponent, the Cardinals both times. So again, even like, yeah, this franchise is so storied. Even when we suck, we sweep a division rival. That's just funny to me. So, and then to make it even more uncanny, both wins came against the Cardinals with the exact same score in overtime. I don't know if y'all remember this. This is like a great trivia question. I should have held it back. Both games, we beat the Cardinals 31-28 in overtime. What the hell, man? Like, figure that out. One of the worst teams ever, but we still beat them twice in overtime with the exact same score. No playoff appearances. And the thing that seals the deal for me is when you back up. You back up and you look at the big picture, okay? Dennis Erickson came in and took over for a back-to-back playoff team and drove it straight into the ground. This is after Seifert, right? So, like, things are great. Super Bowls, playoffs every year, all those things. And then straight garbage. The 49ers would not make the playoffs for another 11 years after Dennis Erickson took over. Not until Jim Harbaugh. That is the desert. We went from promised land, Bill Walsh, George Seifert, 5 Super Bowls, in the playoffs every single year, best dynasty in pro sports, to Dennis Erickson, 2-14 in 2 short years. Absolute garbage. And so again, I know I'm talking negatively, and I know I'm not a negative guy, but this guy crushed our franchise for a decade. For a decade. Ah, it's so bad. Yeah, Erickson lost Garcia and T.O. by year two. Terry Donahue, you know, that's somebody that I wanted to put in there. His cap management was trash. I didn't have him in there, but man, it was so bad. And just the coaching was bad. All of it was bad. That's why he's my number one on worst. And so that's where he is. Now, before we jump over to the positives, and I got 11 that I want to talk about, so we're going to be here a minute. Hopefully you guys are enjoying this. I do want to just a real quick word for Fantrax and our best ball tournament. I think this is the last time I want to talk about it because I got some other new fantasy stuff coming your way. All right, fantasy football peeps, do we have something for you? Fantrax is putting together a tournament for 49ers Rush Podcast and Eat Sleep Fantasy. We're kind of partnering to put this together. It's completely free. You're going to play in a best ball tournament against me and the staff at Eat Sleep Fantasy. And if you beat any of us, you get a ticket for each one of us that you beat. Now, here's how best ball works. Again, completely free. Doesn't cost you a penny. All you're going to do is you will get a salary, $300, to build your 18-person roster, your quarterbacks, wide receivers, whatever else. Each week, the computer puts your best players in the lineup after the week. So you draft, and you're done for the year. This is easy. No time commitment, no money. This is an awesome way to build a community and to see if you can beat me, which I'm going to be honest with you. I'm pretty good at this stuff, so we'll see what happens. But I'm rooting on you. So head to fantrax.com/ESF, and here's what you win. If you beat me or any of the staff over there, you get a raffle ticket, and listen to this prize list. Autographed Joe Montana jersey, autographed Willie McGinnis, autographed DJ Moore, autographed Keenan Allen jersey, autographed Calvin Ridley, Amari Cooper, all courtesy of our partners over at Fantrax. This is an absolute blast and a win-win. Cost nothing. All you do is go to fantrax.com/ESF or follow the link in this video, and that's it. Set up your account for free, set your lineup, and you're done. We'll keep pace and see track this throughout the year. It'll be a lot of fun. So go over there, check it out, fantrax.com/ESF. If you have any questions, as always, please don't hesitate to reach out. All right. And I do want to say, like, a lot of people have, you know, emailed, texted, messaged me saying, hey, let's do a fantasy league. We did the charity things last year, and I really enjoyed that. Turned out to be a lot more work than I was, you know, wanting to bring on. And with me coaching this year, like, I'm scared. And so I am in the works, working with one of my, you know, really, really good friends. Shout out to Steve Spacrotelli at SPACC21, one of the best dudes out there. If you don't follow him on Twitter, he's helping me. We're organizing a super freaking gigantic fantasy league for this year. So stay tuned for that. I'll give you more details and how to enter that. And basically what we're creating is an unlimited. We can have as many people as possible join that want to join. And it's going to be a lot of fun. Real quick, just want to say thank you for the gift. Jimmy, he says, what do you think of the Chandler Jones trade? This was reported earlier this morning, about an hour ago, from Jeremy Fowler of ESPN. His tweet reads this, quote, All-pro pass rusher Chandler Jones requested a trade from Arizona Cardinals this offseason. Jones has been unhappy with his contract and future with the team. Cardinals don't want to trade him and expect him to report to camp, but certainly a situation to watch, end quote. That's huge. You know, if you went back and listened to my All NFC West, All Pro Edition, Chandler Jones and Nick Bosa, they're both first team guys. Like, that's how good Chandler Jones is. Led the NFL in sacks just a year ago before his injury. He got allegedly upset with how much money went to JJ Watt. This guy's been with the Cardinals for a minute now. He wants a new deal. They're not paying it. They sent it to somebody else. We'll just have to see what's going on there. Again, this guy is a top five pass rusher in the NFL, probably top three, to be honest with you. He doesn't get a lot of the press, just because he's in Arizona, but he's a hell of a player coming off an injury. So that's weird. But that injury happened early. It was like training camp or like week one or two. So like, he's going to be just fine. I love animosity anytime there's something that's happened within a division opponent. But again, let me just say this. I have no respect for that team. The roster's great. The coaching staff is abysmal. The front office is trash. So the Cardinals, as long as they have that, you know, young hottie, whatever you want to call him, Kingsbury, as long as he's there, no success is going to take place for that franchise. Yeah, they've got studs. You've got D-Hop talking about retirement, right? You've got Chandler Jones wanting to get traded. Those are the best two players on the roster. Kyler Murray's great, no doubt about that. Can't ride roller coasters, but he's a good football player. Terrible offensive line. Like, I'm just not worried about Arizona. Yes, they play the 49ers well. It's a division opponent, and even when we went to the Super Bowl, two of our toughest games were against the Cardinals. But in the big scheme of things, I don't have them making the playoffs. I just don't see it. So I love the fact that they're, you know, bickering and arguing and all those things. That is awesome. Kevin says this, hey, John, hope all is well, with the new job. Yeah, coaching's going really, really well. It's rough. It's a big difference. You know, I'm at a school that my son goes to, and it's his 18th birthday today. Shout out to Joe turning 18 today. We're going out with him and his girlfriend. We're going to go to do a dinner and all that kind of stuff later on. But it's different, man. You know, the football program I worked with in Texas, we had over 320 football players on average each year I was there. I start summer workouts, 7 kids show up here. I know it's not just a California-Texas thing. It's a school that, you know, suspended their football program about 4 years ago, and it's a magnet district in Pasadena, so, like, kids can pick which high school they go to, and there's, like, football-heavy ones, and there's one I'm at. So it's rebuilding a culture. And so it's a little bit less working on football and a lot more community relations and reaching out, phone calls, talking to grandmas and things like that, which is cool. It's just different. But yeah, we'll see how it goes. Now, let's go back to the main discussion. And I've got 11, okay? I started off with 5, and I can't leave these people off. There's just too many good people. Our franchise is rich. You know, I say it all the time, we're spoiled. So number 11, I've got Carmen Policy, president and GM, 1991 to 1997. We made the playoffs 6 out of 7 years. He was the GM. 1 Super Bowl, 3 NFC championship losses, but 3 NFC championship appearances. Drafted Eric Davis in the 2nd round. Ricky Rudding Waters in the 2nd round. The Neck, Merton Hanks in the 5th. Bryant Young in the 1st. Lee Woodall in the 6th. Terrell Owens in the 3rd round. So many just like check, 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 check. He was just a positive guy that kept this roster stacked. Number 10. A lot of people probably will disagree with me on this, but I want him higher. And yeah, Kevin, like if you wanted... Kevin comes on here and says, top 4 executives all time for us, Carmen Policy. Yeah, you're not wrong. But man, and like, when I go through these, nostalgia kicks in. And for me, and again, I don't know if you listened to the intro, if you guys made it on time. You heard my boy Frank Gore on there, man. One of the coolest moments of my life was hanging out with him down in Miami before the Super Bowl. And Scott McLaughlin, who was kind of the vice president, GM. It was a weird situation, him and Balky. He would set the draft board, and Balky would make the picks. McLaughlin is amazing. Yeah, I did mention Joe Thomas. That's where we started off. He was really, really bad, that OJ trade. But I got McLaughlin at 10. Some of the best picks of all time from 2005 to 2009. He was only with us for a short time, but I felt like his impact, we're still feeling it. Frank Gore in the 3rd round. Vernon Davis, 1st round. Delanie Walker, 6th round. Joe Staley, Patrick Willis. That, I mean, good Lord, that's 2 Hall of Fame players. Patrick Willis is going to get in. Frank Gore is going to get in. This dude is responsible for bringing in 2 Hall of Famers. I think that is huge. So, like, I love Scott, and I still follow him. Anytime he's on a podcast, I listen to him. I subscribe to his website when he was doing that for consultation. I love the way he evaluates players. And number 9, this one might cause a little bit of a fuzzy. We'll see what's up. I got Kyle Shanahan, the current head coach. I don't think that he's done enough to vault himself up, but he's 1 of 4 head coaches to get us to the Super Bowl. We've only had 4 coaches to that point. He didn't win it. The record's not great. He's 35-45, which is a .438 win percentage. That's 11th. That's not great. But one of the best seasons in 49ers history. We just couldn't close the deal. 2-1 playoff record. And this is interesting. Shout out to Catalina if she's listening. She put this up on Twitter. He has the exact same record of as Bill Walsh did after 64 games. 29-35. Exact same record. You know, made it to the Super Bowl in his third year, just like Kyle Shanahan. The only difference was things got really bad after that year with all the injuries. But I'm telling you right now, Kyle Shanahan is not done on this list. Don't be shocked if he goes up and finishes top five or even higher. Because again, it's not just about what you win. It's not just about win percentage, whatever else. This dude went from the abyss to the Super Bowl in 3 years. And so I give him credit. You can focus on wins and titles and all those things. And we're going to talk about, you know, George Seifert and Bill Walsh and Jim Harbaugh and how they all stack up. Obviously, Bill Walsh is far away different from everybody else. But there's something to be said for taking something that's depressed and inflating it, right? And so I think that's huge. Yeah, I know I pronounce names. Thank you, Nana. I appreciate that. It's kind of my thing. I'm bad. It's McLuhan. I get it. I know I'm bad. I apologize. Whenever I did the best and worst players of all time episode, and again, teach me, like I'm not doing this on purpose. I do research. I practice all those things. I'm just bad, man. I'm just bad. So thank you for helping with that. Brian, what's up, man? Glad you're here. He says, Shanahan will finish at number two or number three when it's all said and done. And I want to come back and talk about what it would take when we're done with this list for him to finish that high. Number eight, the original HC, good old Santa Clara Silver Fox, as he was known, Buck Shaw. He was the very first head coach in the 40s and 50s. And, you know, didn't have a lot of success, but a 1-1 playoff record, only one appearance, playoff appearance in 9 years, and he did make one championship appearance, though, but it was a little bit different there. That was before the Super Bowl, but he had a 71-39-4 tie regular season record. That's .645 win percentage. To start a team, to win consistently early, I think that's huge in setting the precedent. I mean, he was with us for a minute. And so Buck Shaw, I've got at number eight. It was fun diving into a little bit of the history with some of these older coaches that obviously were, you know, coaching well before little fat Chapman was running around in diapers. But yeah, it was fun to learn about him. Number seven, the Rucci, Steve Mariucci. I have a soft spot for him. I really do love this guy. I think he's awesome. Steve Mariucci.
Did you know that you can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks? You can turn $10 into $1,000 with basketball, hockey, college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. And here's what's great. You can get action on sports on more than 30 different states across the country, including California, Texas, and Georgia. On top of that, you got playoff basketball actions on the horizon, and this is the best place to take advantage of all of basketball's postseason actions. Some of these player props: Nikolai Jokic for over 10 rebounds, Anthony Davis more than 2 blocks, Lillard, 4 three-pointers made. You get to pick exactly how you want to use your bets. So, download the app today. Use code 49ers49ERS for a deposit match up to $100. Again, that's promo code 49ers for a first deposit match up to $100 over on Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
If you care about security and convenience, you need Eufy Video Lock. Let's just say you're sitting on the couch and you want to lock the door and you don't want to get up. Got you covered. You're wondering who's visited your house while you're away from home? Done. You want video that's stored on your device without a monthly fee? Eufy Video Lock has everything that you need. On top of that, it's easy to install. You don't have to drill anything. All you need is a Phillips screwdriver. That's it. Keyless entry, fingerprint recognition, no battery anxiety, and they have 24/7 customer support on standby for you whenever you need it. So, if you haven't yet, go to Eufy Video Lock. You can Google it. You can check out the videos and all those things. That is EUFY Video Lock. Or visit eufyofficial.com/videolock to see how you can gain complete control of your door. That's Eufy Video Lock. 3-4 playoff record. He won 57, lost 39 games. That's a .59 win percentage. And I feel like he gets a bad rep sometimes because people either love or hate him. He made the playoffs in 4 out of 6 years as our head coach. Like, made it to the NFC Championship only once. So, like, I understand we were never a title contender really with him. But, man, we were beyond competitive. And as soon as he left, right, he was brought in by Eddie DeBartolo. And then whenever DeBartolo lost the team, eventually moved off from Mariucci, that's where that valley hit. That's where it was just like, boom, Dennis Erickson. Like, it was just straight, just trash. But, man, making the playoffs 4 out of 6 years, I think that's a testament to, like, how awesome we were. Because that wasn't to our standard, right? We had Walsh. We had Seifert. What's this only one NFC championship in 6 years nonsense? That's not our standard. So we moved on, and we didn't know how bad it could be. And it got bad real quick. But Mariucci, I think he's one of the best just people in the media. Just authentic. I know some people don't like him. That's cool. But I love that dude. I'm seeing some TO/Mooch and all those things. And Jed York and all that stuff. Now, you got to say this too. You know, if I'm looking at Mariucci, whenever he left, that was not on Jed York. That was on the other Yorks. That was on Denise York, right? That was on John and Denise York, not Jed. Jed didn't step in yet. I know he was still a part of the ownership and all that stuff. But yeah, John York, Tommy, you're exactly correct. And that's why he wants to punch something. I feel you. Withhold your anger, my friend. Don't punch something. I say that. I little known Chapman story real quick. I was playing pickup basketball with some buddies in college. Shout out to Chuck if he's listening. And I lost a basketball game. It didn't even matter. Like, we were playing like 3-on-3, half court. It wasn't even a big deal. But you know the padded walls underneath the basketball goal that like stop players running full speed like into the wall? Like, I just got mad and I walked over. I was like, dang it. Boom. And so I punched the padded wall. And sure enough, boxer's fracture, like shoved my knuckles back into my hand, had to have surgery, all those things. So, Tommy, please don't punch a padded wall. It goes bad. Lots of money for Chapman in college with no health insurance. Anyway, don't do that. Number 6, back to the list. The founder. Oh, I love this. Tony Morabito. This dude, oh my gosh, so fun looking back and reading into this guy. He started the 49ers, okay? I've got him at number 6. You could put him so much higher. It took him 15 years of consistently trying to get a team in San Francisco, but the logistics just didn't work. If you remember, like back in the 40s, 30s and 40s, most of the NFL was, you know, Packers, Bears, Lions, like kind of that Midwest and the East Coast. And a big reason why the 49ers or San Francisco couldn't get a team is because air travel wasn't that big of a deal yet. Logistically, just like train rides back and forth, buses just didn't work. And so once air travel kind of picked up and it was more practical, then it worked. In 1944, he set off into Chicago and finally got them to agree to let the 49ers have a team. But they had to wait for World War II to end. So they signed it in 44. They had to wait for everything to end. The 49ers played their very first game. Yeah, I feel like this is an awesome trivia question as well. Where did the 49ers play their first game? I'll put that out there. I'm going to let that hang for a second. 1946. What was the location? Where did the 49ers play their first game? Whoever gets it first in my thing, I'm going to send you a t-shirt on me. So what's up, Robert? Fan from England. I love it, man. From across the little pond there. So again, here's my question. Where was the location of the 49ers' first game in 1946? I will send you a shirt, the first one that shows up on my screen. Now, I do have to say this. The names, the order is a little bit different on YouTube and Facebook and Twitter and all these places. So I just want to say, if yours looks like it's first, I'm going with what's first on mine because I have to use like a mesh app that brings all the chats together. So that's gotten me in trouble in the past. It is not Kezar. It is not Oakland. That is incorrect. It was not those things yet. It's not Kezar. You guys got, you're thinking, yeah, I think more out of the box. It's not a stadium. It's a location that everybody knows if you've ever been to San Francisco. Now, hired Buck Shaw, the head coach, for $25,000. Like, that's where it was. And they were a part of the AAFC until it folded in 1949. Then, once they fell out of that, they joined the NFL in 1950. So, like, yeah, if you're looking at that, the 1950 NFL game, I think some of you guys are right. He died of a heart attack. This is what's crazy. He died of a heart attack at a 49ers game. Doctors told him, you have to sell the team. This is Tony Morabito. You have to sell the team. Your heart can't handle it. Like, you're going to die. He said no. He said absolutely no. And what happened, and again, I got this story. Cintron told Brian told me about it. Then I started looking at looking it up and found this stuff. The 49ers were down 17-7. He has a heart attack at the game. 49ers are losing. They send a note to Buck Shaw, the head coach, and it just said Tony's gone. Sure enough, the 49ers come back and win that game 21-17. Absolutely love it. What a story. Like, you can't make that up. Now, people are going to get mad at me here. I think I'm going to get in trouble. I know I'm going to get in trouble. It was at Balboa Park is where the game was, which is publicly owned, right, by San Francisco State University. So I feel like, and sorry if I messed this up, eventually it became known as Kezar Stadium, but it wasn't at that time. So my winner, and again, I don't have like anybody here. So my free t-shirt goes to none other than Paul Madison. So Paul, go ahead and reach out to me. I'll get you something in the mail. 49ers Rush Podcast, at gmail.com or on Twitter, wherever you're listening. Go ahead and message me. Let me know size, address, all those things. I'll get that sent out to you. But yeah, I was in Balboa Park, which is awesome, which was owned by the school, if I'm not mistaken. And if I am mistaken, I apologize, but made up my mind. I'm giving the shirt to Paul. You're the man. If I am wrong, I'm so sorry. Please educate me and help me make sure that I understand this stuff in the future. Now, let's see here. Number five. This is top five. And there's a lot of studs here. Number five, I've got... Yeah, I totally washed my hands of that one. I'm done. Like, I regretted doing it because I was like, man, I hope these people are so much smarter than me. I'm not born and raised in San Francisco, so like, I know that there's some people that could educate me big time. But I was just looking at opportunity to give away free stuff. Hopefully that's not nobody's pissed off at me. Number five, I got Jim Harbaugh. And part of me wants him to be lower. Part of me wants him to be higher. Because it took a couple of years to realize how dominant he was. You know, he had the one championship appearance. You know, we've only had four head coaches make it to the Super Bowl. He's one of them. He ended, and I think this is even more than the Super Bowl. Jim Harbaugh ended an 11-year playoff drought. The 49ers don't have droughts. We shouldn't have droughts. Not with our culture. Not with our, you know, ownership. Not with all those things. Like, we set the precedent. We're not a normal NFL team. We're a premier NFL team. And I think we forgot that for a little while. You can talk about the 80s and all the championships and just the playoffs after playoffs after playoffs after playoffs. We lost that. And it took Harbaugh to get us back to where we were. And then again, when Harbaugh left, guess what? Right back down to the valley. And so, you know, I mean, we had these peak years, and it was trash before, and it was trash after. He made the playoffs in 3 out of 4 years. He was 5-3 in the playoffs. That's the third most playoff wins in our franchise history. He was here for 4 years. Here for 4 years. 3 NFC championship appearances in 4 years? That's just, oh, it's so good, man. He went 44-19 with one tie. So he had a 695 win percentage. That's second best all time. 695. That's better than Walsh. And again, remember, 11 years before to win the playoffs. And then we don't go to the playoffs for a long time until Kyle Shanahan afterwards. So I get he's a psycho. Like, the dude's not right. I understand that. But he is a hell of a football coach. And what he was able to achieve in that short time. And yeah, maybe if you didn't have Trent Baalke, you know, if Trent Baalke wasn't there, I think that John Harbaugh's still our coach, or Jim Harbaugh, sorry. Now he's in Michigan. We'll see how long he's there. I understand that that's kind of his, you know, legacy or whatever, like played there, all that stuff. But man, I don't know. It's the what if game is so crazy. But that the roster was good. You got to give them that, but they couldn't win before him. They couldn't win after him. That roster was actually pretty bad afterwards. But I got Harbaugh at 5. Number 4. Let's change gears just a little bit here. John McVay. Man, let's go to vice president and GM. He was there for 20 years, 1980 to 1999. Was the head coach of the New York Giants before that as well. This is Sean McVay, you know, the head coach of the Rams, his grandfather, which, you know, I don't know if you've listened to, I'm sure you have now, because Kyle Shanahan was on it 2 weeks ago, the Flying Coach podcast with Peter Schrager and Sean McVay. It's absolutely incredible. And, you know, I don't like the Rams or whatever, but I do like Sean McVay. I think that he's a good coach, a little bit, you know, whatever, you know, young guy, definitely got some confidence. I think that's a good thing. But he attributes so much of his success to his grandfather, and rightfully so, got him the job, all those things. But back to John McVay. He was Bill Walsh's right-hand man through everything. He was the NFL Executive of the Year of 1989. He retired in 96, so he was done with it after we won the championship. But then when DeBartolo, the team got taken from him, he had to transfer it to the Yorks, he agreed to come out of retirement to help provide some continuity. So he was all about this franchise. So he came back out for a couple years, tried to help us out. All 5 Super Bowls were done under his reign. He's in the 49ers Hall of Fame. This is another thing that pisses me off. Why the hell is this guy not in the NFL Hall of Fame? 5 Super Bowl titles during his time here, as pivotal a piece as anybody not named Bill Walsh. I think you go Eddie DeBartolo, Bill Walsh, and then like maybe a step down John McVay. Like, the name just means so much in what he brought. So that's why I got him number 4. You want to put him higher? I have no problems with that. A lot of teams, again, like if this dude was in the Giants or, I mean, so many different franchises, John McVay would be the most revered person for their franchise. That's how great he was. But because he was around during the time of Bill Walsh, we don't really get that much publicity for him. But I know that the older ones, the people that were around, the dude was it. And we owe a lot of respect and just put respect on this guy's name, John McVay. I was too low on him. And so last night when we were doing our Zoom hangout, I got corrected. And I appreciate that because I make mistakes all the time. And so I think 4 is kind of where he should be. Number 3, the question that I asked on Twitter, let me phrase it to you this way. I said, Bill Walsh is the greatest head coach, and there is no debate. Who's the second best head coach ever? These are the names I gave. Steve Mariucci, Buck Shaw, Jim Harbaugh, George Seifert. And I'm so proud. Like, people nailed this. 59% said George Seifert. Now, there's 3 George Seiferts. Here's what I mean by that. Yeah, the head coaching time, he won 2 Super Bowls as our head coach. Yeah, I get that. That's awesome. But I don't think that was his greatest contribution. His DC for the 49ers, he was a defensive backs coach with us at 1980. He came 1 year. He was at Stanford with Bill Walsh, but was a year delayed in going from Stanford to the 49ers. So he was our DB coach in 1980. Then became our defensive coordinator in 1983. That's when everything shot through the roof defensively. Then became our head coach in 1989. Now, you look at playoff record. He was 10-5. That's incredible. He's tied for the most playoff wins with you-know-who. Playoffs in 7 out of 8 years as a head coach. That's unheard of. 5 NFC championship appearances in a 6-year span. Unheard of. His record? Okay, 98 wins, 30 losses. That's the most wins all-time for anybody at 49ers head coach. 0.766 win percentage. First all-time for the 49ers, and really, that's like top 5 all-time. You throw in like playoff records, all that stuff, doesn't matter. This dude's in the 49ers Hall of Fame, George Seifert, and again, why the hell is he not in the NFL Hall of Fame? Like, he's like tied for like seventh most or fifth or I think, yeah, fifth most Super Bowl wins as a head coach ever. There's only so many that have multiple wins. And whenever you look at what he did as DC, look at the people he coached. I don't get it, man. George Seifert is incredible. I understand he doesn't get revered near as much as some of the other royalty that is the 49ers, but that dude is a hell of a coach, position coach, defensive coordinator, head coach, championship, championship, championship. Now, I want to play the other side of the coin. He came in as a head coach and took over elite, right? You know, took over for a Super Bowl championship team. He had a great roster, great coaching staff, and all those things. But he helped build that as DC. We do not give George Seifert near enough credit, and neither does the NFL. And you know what? Shame on the NFL, because this dude belongs in the NFL Hall of Fame if anybody does. If anybody does. Incredible what he was able to do. Tommy, he says, Bill Walsh gave Seifert his play. Seifert said, I can't beat that. I agree. You know, because whenever Walsh stepped back, he became GM. And so he was still part of the franchise. But still, Seifert was coaching. And that defense was elite from the time he stepped in 83 all the way till he was done coaching. So good. Number two, Eddie DeBartolo Jr. What's up, man? 23 years as owner. Ah, I love Eddie. And when you think 49ers, you know, if I ask, I forget who it was. I don't know if it was Merton Hanks or Ronnie Lott. I don't remember who it was that was telling the story. And sorry if I get those two confused. There was a perception around the NFL, and it was this first class, right? The 49ers changed the way teams treated players. That's just what it was. First class. The 49ers were the envy of the league because of him, right? They all flew first class. They all, no roommates on road trips. Like, that was innovative because Eddie DeBartolo, he saw the players as the premium of what it meant to be a franchise. And so he wanted to take care of them in little things, luxuries, right? And so this changed the way everybody was treated. All five Super Bowls under his tenure. 49ers Hall of Fame, NFL Hall of Fame as a contributor. Now, the whole corruption thing that took place in Louisiana, I get it. That ended his ownership, but it does not negate. I mean, it had nothing to do with football stuff. You can get into that if you want to get into that, and I think that there's a conversation to be had about that. But from a 49ers perspective, without Eddie, we don't get Bill Walsh. We don't get George Seifert. We don't get John McVay. We don't get what the 49ers became, and it starts with ownership. It starts with ownership. He made the hires. He changed the culture. And just got a hats off to him, man. Absolutely incredible. Eddie DeBartolo Jr., incredible, incredible. Charlie, thank you so much for the gift. I appreciate it. It says, do you think we would have destroyed the Patriots in Super Bowl, 2011? So, you know, you go back to that one, and people are cringing as we bring it up. That's when we lost in the conference championship. We were 13-3 that year. You know, we had a hell of a team, to say the least. And, you know, that's way back when Alex Smith was still the quarterback. You know, he was starting all that stuff and all that stuff going on. And, yeah, I think that that team was just primed for greatness. Our defense led the way. We had the second-ranked defense, forced 38 turnovers, led the NFL. It was all about defense that year, if you remember. Navarro Bowman was playing at his best ever. Patrick Willis. I mean, yeah, it would have been a game. We should have been in it. The only reason why we weren't, we all know why. I don't want to say his name. I don't want to make anybody mad. Oh, now I'm mad. I tried to protect you guys, and I turned all the anger and hostility inward. It just got bad. It got bad. So yeah, there's no doubt. Like, we were the best team in the NFL, I think, at that point. So efficient on offense. And think at how many people would have got a Super Bowl ring that deserved one. Joe Staley, Patrick Willis, Frank Gore, Alex Smith. All those guys, man. Oh, they deserved it. Sucks, man, all because of effing special teams. Philip, thank you so much for the gift, brother. He said, figured out why I have poor opinion of DeBartolo. He hired Joe Thomas for GM. There you go, man. There you go. And I think that you have to hold things in context. And I think Phillip does that as well as anybody else. You want to look at all the draft picks that GMs hit on. You want to look at these amazing coaches. And let's talk about, you know, Jed York, who's not on my list. He's made some terrible coaching hires. But he learned from it and took himself out of the equation. Hired John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan, and stepped back. Now, he drunk tweets every now and then, which I respect. I'm a drunk tweeter myself, as some of you guys well know. But, like, he's evolved, right? I mean, I think Jed York, everybody would have said he sucks as an owner 4 years ago. But I think he got the Harbaugh hire right, 100%. But he also got to give him credit for losing Harbaugh. But now he's got the Kyle Shanahan hire right. And so that's good, right? And so, again, you put it all into perspective and kind of look at that, and I think that's what we get. Oh, I love this. Who remembers George Seifert's Bossa Nova Visa commercials? I do remember those. That's way back when I don't think it was Morgan Freeman. It was before Morgan Freeman was voicing the Visa commercials. And yeah, they were doing like all the, what's it called, all over the place. Yeah, that is awesome. That is incredible. James says, been watching all the old games I can find on YouTube. Helps late at night with the newborn. Dude, congrats, brother. That is absolutely incredible. And yeah, I'm the same way. You go watch those old games because you have in your mind certain, you know, narratives. And then you're like, huh, this guy's way better than I thought he was. This guy's maybe not as good as, you know, Fat John Chapman childhood believed he would be. But the one person that does hold up, and I don't care, metrics, X's and O's, evaluation, leadership, amazing human being, fill in the blank. Number one on our list, number one on everybody's hearts, I don't think there's any debate here, Bill freaking Walsh. The Bill, the inventor of the West Coast. You can go back. There's definitely some other people that were working on that, but his implementation of that to the college and NFL level changed everything. And we're still feeling ripple effects schematically through this in the NFL still to this day. There's not one NFL offense. There's not one college offense that does not implement certain principles, whether they know it or not, of this West Coast offense. The dude, he was a savant in the best sense of the word. And again, you just look at his coaching tenure, and that's enough to be number one. You could look at him as a GM, trading up for Jerry Rice, selecting Joe Montana, all these trading for Steve. Like, good Lord, those three transactions alone make you the best GM. Incredible. Three Super Bowls as a head coach, two went to Seifert, 10-4 playoff record that's tied for first, six straight years to the playoffs before stepping down. Walked out on top. 92 wins, 59 losses, one regular season tie. 0.609 win percentage. And again, remember, he started off 2-4. Like, he took over a 2-14 team. He built this team from scratch. Built it from scratch. And to me, like, okay, the championships, that's everything. But man, there's a difference between Bill Walsh and Seifert, right? They built it up. And I think that's why I love Kyle Shanahan and I love Harbaugh so much, is because they took over crap and built it up. Just incredible, amazing human being. You know, I still, you know, for those of you guys that are with me year round, the draft's my thing. That's my baby. And before I watch any film on any position, I go back to his coaching and evaluation notes on positions, which he filled out. And basically, these are the things I look for. Now, I know that the game's changed considerably since he wrote those things 20 years ago, but it doesn't matter. Probably 25 years ago now. The way to evaluate, because he understood the game so clearly and how this will be successful here because this is what we're going to do. It's just different. I don't think that there's another coach that has had near as much impact on the NFL as him. And I don't care if we're talking 49ers or we're talking greatest coaches all time. You're not putting anybody in front of this man. And if anybody wants to throw out, you know, Bill Belichick's name, which he is a great, one of the all-time greats. The amount of cheating. You got to film Cincinnati's practices? Are you kidding me? In 2020? You're filming the Cincinnati Bengals practices. That ain't the first time you've done that either. The first time you got caught in a while. You want to get into Spygate? Oh, you want to get me mad. Bill Walsh is clean. Bill Walsh is the best that there is. And I don't think that there is anybody that can throw shade on this man. And so, yeah, I get some people are going to be like, well, I might have, you know, Don Shula ahead or whatever. That's fine. They're on the same level. You ain't putting anybody ahead of this guy. Just class act, man. Just the best of the best. Oh, I will throw some hands. Not really. I'm not going to fight over this stuff. But, yeah, don't piss me off, man. The coaching tree. Yes, Kevin, thank you. Just incredible. Just incredible. I love it, man. How fun was this? God, it's awesome. And put it in perspective. All right? This is our past. Look where the 49ers are presently. We don't have Tom Sula. We don't have Chip Kelly. We don't have Singletary. We don't have those people. We don't have Balky. We don't have those hindrances. We have confidence. Things are trending in the right direction. This is a great time to be a 49ers fan. We've gone through droughts. 11 years without the playoffs. Are you kidding me? No. Things are trending upward. I love our roster. I love our front office. I love our owner right now. I really, really do. And I sure as hell love our head coach. 49ers, it's close, baby. Few days away. Thank you guys, everybody, for listening. This was a long one, but it was a fun one. Absolutely incredible. Just looking back at the greatness that we have been. We are lucky to call who we're a part of, the faithful. Faithful then, faithful now. And looking forward, lots more good things. Appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. And as always, stay strong, faithful.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.